Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and back by popular demand is a man who needs no introduction, but we're going to give him one anyway, because he's awesome, Yos. Woo, yeah. All right, Yos, take a second to introduce yourself. Well, they know who you are.
So my name is Yos de Bruin. I'm a program manager in the SQL team. And the last couple of years, I've been working on in-memory OLTP, which is a technology for low latency and high throughput transaction processing.
Sweet. Okay. And we just had you on a couple of times, but you're back to talk about some awesomeness in SQL Server again, aren't you?
As usual. I cannot stop talking about all the awesome things in SQL Server.
That's right. Just pure awesomeness from you. This is great.
Yeah. All right. So today, I want to talk about latency and transaction durability in transaction processing scenarios.
Okay.
And yeah, latency and durability are somehow related, you okay. know, because, well, it usually takes some time to commit your changes to disk, so it affects the overall latency.
Okay. Sweet. All right. So let's jump right in.
Yeah. So first, what I want to do first is use this nice drawing tool to kind of to define the concept of latency. All right,
yeah. So a whole different whiteboard. Latency? Now we don't have to carry that whiteboard over here anymore.
Yes. So what is latency in this case? So we are interested in how long it takes for the database to process a request from the client.
Okay.
And in a transaction processing scenario, that usually involves also committing some data to the database, so also writing to disk.
Okay.
So let's say you have your application. So this is your app. And for this purpose, we are going to focus mainly on what happens when the request and the data goes out of the app and until it comes in. So we're looking at what is the latency from the app's point of view. Latency between like sending off the request to the database and getting the acknowledgement.
I've just done a request a record or write a record from the app, right? Save or query type of transaction.
Yes, absolutely. So from the app, the request is sent over the network. So let's say this is your network bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
Then it will come to the database. So let's say you have a database here.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually it will get persisted to disk. Right?
Okay.
So OneNote is really showing how crooked my drawing skills are, right? So you have here disk.
Yeah, that's all right. You're doing much better than I am.
Disk.
<that way.
laughs> this is network.
Yep.
And this is the database, obviously, right?
Yep.
So we start with a request is being sent out of the app over the network. So network is something that we from SQL Server cannot control.
Yep.
But if you are interested in really low latency, you will probably have the app running on the same switch as the database, or you want to have it close by,
right, okay.
network latency. But there are a couple of things that are actually happening within the database that also contribute to the time that it takes to process the overall request.
Okay.
So there are a number of different layers. So let's kind of divide this up. Layers, this is the processing within the database. So first, there is, of course, the connection management. Mm-hmm. So the connection management is all about what the database does with the request that is coming in.
Okay.
And you want to do, in order to optimize that process, you would want to do things as like call stored procedure. So you want to use stored procedures instead of ad hoc statements,
yep.
right? That's generally more efficient. Also in connection handling, use RPC for those remote procedure
right.
calls, right? That is protocol optimization. And ideally, if you can, you want to use prepared execution. So prepared execution means you tell the database, hey, I am going to call a start procedure with this particular name.
Okay.
So then the database will resolve that name, give an identifier to the client, and then for all subsequent calls to that start procedure, the client will only send that ID, and then in the database you can do a very quick lookup based on that ID and immediately start execution.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So connection management, and then we have the other layer. I would call this you can think about, like, in a stored procedure, you have a number of different things, right?
Yep.
You have some procedural logic, like your if statements, your whiles, and then you have your actual T-SQL statements, in a sense, the actual data statements, the selects, insert, update, delete, right?
Yep.
So you have here this if, while, et cetera, go to, and all these things, right? That is your kind of procedural logic.
Yep.
Then you have what I call here query processing. So this is a select, insert, update, delete statements.
Mm-hmm.
Right. With the procedural logic, that decides, like, hey, what's my controller flow?
Yep.
And then your query processing goes into, okay, what is my actual logic for running the query?
Right.
Do I need to do a join, table scan, index lookup? And then you have the actual data access layer. So in the data access, that is where you do the actual access to your indexes and to your tables.
Okay.
That is where you do your lookups, you insert in new rows, delete existing rows,
okay.
Et cetera. And then when all that data access is done,
mm-hmm.
When everything is done, you usually have a transaction commit.
Yep.
So then you have your commit processing, and this is... you're working with the transaction log, but you're working with it in memory. So
there's
a log buffer, and then you have here, then you have your flush to disk, right? So these are essentially all the layers that you go through, right? When you do a request.
From the app, yeah.
And when all this is done,
mm-hmm.
So when you execute all the logic, run all the queries, do all the modifications to your commit processing, you flush it to disk. The disk gives you an acknowledgement, and then when everything is done, then the acknowledgement goes back through all the layers, essentially all the way back to the client.
Right. Okay.
And give my hack here, right? So that is all the work that needs to be done to process a request from the app's point of view. And these are all the factors that come into play when you think about latency.
Yep.
Right. And if you're interested in getting very low latency,
yep.
Then you need to think about how to optimize all these different parts.
Right. Yeah. So it's not just, hey, let me, put in an SSD. How do I think about each step of the process from start to finish?
Yeah. So the network. Obviously, you want to have your app live close to the database.
Mm-hmm.
That is important. For your connection management to optimize, you want to do things like start procedure execution, your RPC, your prepared execution. Then there are some recent innovations in SQL Server that actually make these next three steps a lot faster. Oh, let me actually... erase this. It is the three steps, not the four. So the procedural logic,
query
processing, and data access, they are made faster for transaction processing using in-memory OLTP.
Okay.
So you have your natively compiled stored procedures. These are used for optimizing the procedural logic controller flow, as well as the query processing.
Yep.
And then you have your memory optimized tables. They optimize the data access portion.
Right, okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, they also have, in the last step, So in the step of commit processing, there is also some with memory optimized tables. You get some efficiency in logging.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
So for example, the biggest is no logging of index operations. So there's less that you write to the log.
Right.
But when it comes to commit processing, so there is a first in-memory commit processing, but then there is this flush to disk, right? Where, and here, for that piece, that is, yeah, well, dominated by the disk I/O subsystem,
yep.
Right? So it's usually, if the transaction is small enough, usually in transaction processing scenarios, they're usually pretty small. So it's usually one I/O operation,
mm-hmm.
Right? So then so you can make it a little bit more efficient by making it smaller, but that's not really going to impact the time it takes for right. The flush to disk. So if your disk I/O subsystem is slow, so for example, you have spinning media, or you have a slower SAN that may be on a different router, then you are going to experience a lot of latency there, and okay. You're going to spend a lot of time in the flush to disk.
Okay.
But this is actually, when thinking about this flush to disk, this is also where the concept of durability comes in, right? So in the traditional kind of fully durable mode,
mm-hmm.
In the fully durable mode, this is what happens, right? This flush to disk is part of the overall latency.
Okay.
But there are other modes that we introduced more recently in SQL Server. So for example, in SQL Server 2014, we introduced delayed durability. And in delayed durability, the flush to disk is removed from the critical path of the latency.
So you get that acknowledgement back faster. And then
yeah.
Right, okay.
So this is a fully durable X. So this is fully durable. And let me pick a different color here. So the delayed durable comes directly from the database, and
okay.
And this is delayed durable. So in delayed durable, you come directly after all the in-memory processing is done, and you
okay.
get the result back immediately. So you take out the flush to disk out of the equation. Of course, there is a risk of losing some data if
right.
there is a failure, right?
Okay.
Because if a transaction is still in memory and has not finished the flush to disk and there's a server failure, then you are
right.
then you lose that data basically.
Okay.
One additional aspect I want to call out here as well, that if you are in a highly available situation,
yep.
you're using always on with
mm-hmm.
synchronous replication to secondaries. Just for completeness, I want to include that in the picture as well. So you have here another replication to your secondary, basically. So this is secondary. And for fully durable, again, you
right.
wait for the acknowledgement that the flush to disk on secondary has happened before you acknowledge.
Right, okay. Are there things that we can still do in here? Because as we're going in here through the query processing, the thing that came to my mind, because you're right, you know, in memory, we get that, you know, better improvement. But can we throw in here, is it possible to throw in here things like, you know, the query store where we look at, hey, maybe, you know, there's, yeah, we get awesome performance from the in-memory technologies, but could we even improve that further by saying, hey, you know what, we still look at the queries through the query
yeah.
store and say, oh, there's still some issues where we could address from the queries.
Absolutely. I mean, you can always, so the technologies that are mentioned here, these are technologies that improve the pure query execution logic,
okay.
right? So,
right?
So these are query execution technologies. So this optimizes query execution, right?
But it does not
improve query optimization in some sense,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
So you still need to worry about having the right indexes and
okay.
writing the queries in the right way.
Okay.
Right? So you won't need to but, still need to write.
But in the flow of what you're talking about, we're talking about query processing here, right? From a from a latency standpoint.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
So before we jump into a demo, I want to kind of quickly recap the durability options that we have in SQL Server. So the default option that has always been there is fully durable.
Okay.
So fully durable means that when a transaction commits, you get the notification from the server. You know that if there's a failure at any point in time after the commit, you know, after server restart or after always on failover, you know the data is there.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
Of course, the con is that is impact on latency. So every commit requires a log IO, as we saw, right?
Okay, yep.
So delayed durability, that is a mode that was introduced in SQL Server 2014. Delayed durability means that the transaction gives back the acknowledgement, the commit acknowledgement, before the flush to disk has completed.
Okay.
Right. So you and also before replication to your synchronous secondaries has completed.
Okay.
So you achieve very low latency because log IO and replication are not in the in the path of latency.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the logging is going to be more efficient because you work with bigger log blocks.
Yep.
But of course, you can have limited data loss if there's a failure.
Yep, that makes sense.
But SQL Server does try to really limit the amount of data you lose. So if the IO subsystem is keeping up, you might lose maybe a few transactions, but it's going to be really limited. The window is expressed in milliseconds.
Right. Okay.
That you would be exposed to, as long as the disk subsystem keeps up. Right.
Okay.
If there is going to be a long IO queue, then you expose yourself to further loss, potentially, right? So you do need to be very careful if you're using that. So you need to be very deliberate when you use it. And you need to be confident that you can deal, that your app can deal with limited data loss.
Okay.
And finally, we have this notion of non-durable tables.
Mm-hmm.
These were introduced as part of in-memory OLTP. So that's a table that is fully in memory.
Yeah.
The data does not reside on disk and is not logged.
Yep.
So you have no IO whatsoever in any code path, but of course you lose all the data if there's a failure.
Yep.
So it is more for like transient data scenarios, caching scenarios.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Great.
Okay. So what I want to do here is to show you a kind of familiar demo that you are kind of familiar with, but want to look at what is the impact of various modes of durability in this demo, and want to look at kind of going step by step, first going from disk based and to memory optimized and to natively compiled, then look at delayed durability and even the schema only, and see what is the impact on the performance.
Okay.
Right. I'm not saying that you should really be doing all these things in practice, especially when you start mucking with durability.
Right.
Always be sure what you're doing. But let's get started. So first, for folks not familiar with this particular demo, what it does is it leverages a large number of connections, in this case 80 connections, that are all executing transactions as fast as they can in the server. So it's really the database server, which is the bottleneck in this case, right? So for disk-based, we're getting about 1,400 transactions per second here.
Okay.
So what I want to do as a first step here is we're going to just change the stored procedure, not the stored procedure, just the table. We're going to change the table to memory optimized.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to say, okay, going to drop the old table, create a new memory optimized table, and then let's look at what is the impact on my throughput here. Right. So I have a pretty big impact on my throughput. It is like over 50,000 transactions per second.
Yeah, we saw this in your last video you did, right? Just the ability to performance we're getting just by moving the table to in-memory is awesome, right?
Yeah, so we're getting about 50,000 with just the table. Now, and this, again, why it is so, why this improvement from desk to table is so high. That's because in this scenario, there's a lot of contention on latches,
yep.
which are physical locks. And because memory optimized tables are lock free, that's why you get yep. big improvement there, right? And this is basically in the data access portion, right? So,
from your, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so with the disk based table, there was a big bottleneck in the data access portion of the latency, essentially. And that is waiting for the latches of other concurrent transactions, right? So we bypass that, so the data access is much more efficient in this case. So now we are going to optimize also the query processing and the controller flow logic by making the stored procedure natively compiled. So we're going to make the stored procedure natively compiled, and we're going to start the workload again. And we see again another jump to about 70,000.
Yep, okay. Wow.
But do you notice anything about the profile of the performance?
The profile. Yeah, so it's up, down, up, down, up, down.
It's up, down, up, down, up, down.
Not too bad, but I mean, there's still some, you know, not consistent, right?
So to me, this is usually an indication. Well, usually I first look at what's happening with CPU utilization. But if the CPU utilization also goes up and down a little bit, there's usually an indication of log I/O being a bottleneck.
Okay.
Now, my log I/O device is not too bad in this case. It's a consumer-grade SSD, which, as you can see, already can give you pretty good performance, yep. but probably you would still be waiting. So yep. if I would have some NVMe, for example, you would probably not see this jagged.
Okay, I see, yep.
But what I could do now, what I could try next, is look at, hey, what if I take the log I/O out of the critical path for performance, okay. right?
Yep.
So, and I do that by applying delayed durability. So I'm, in this case, for convenience, I'm going to apply it at the database level. So I'm going to go to the database properties, going to go to options, and we have here our delayed durability. All right, so it is, right now it is disabled, so delayed durability cannot be used in the database.
Okay.
And I'm going to change it to forced, to force every transaction to be delayed durable.
So what's the difference between allowed and forced?
If you say allow, so you can configure delay durability at two levels, at the database level and at the transaction level. With the transaction commits, so you can say commit with delay durability. And if the database option says allowed, then that transaction is going to be delayed durable.
Okay.
If it is disabled, that transaction, even if you specify delay durability, it is going to be fully durable.
Right.
Because our thinking with that was, hey, the DBA is often accountable for durability, so the DBA can say, okay, you app people, no delay durability, I'm going to force fully durable.
Right.
But we are going to change it here to forced, okay? I'm going to say, okay. So we're going to start this again. And we see again kind of a slight jump in performance.
Yep.
And typically you will see a somewhat smoother profile. In this case, there are still some jumps here and there.
But
as it is leveling out, you see it gets smoother and smoother over time. Right.
Yep. Fantastic.
Okay, so let's throw caution completely out the window, and we go with completely non-durable, so completely non-logged.
Right, okay.
So in this case, I'm just going to change my table here to schema only. So you would not typically do that for transaction processing scenarios, for like caching scenarios or other transaction transient data scenarios. But I'm going to do it with my demo here, just to show you the impact of throwing out durability completely. Right. So you see here that there is an additional jump in actual transaction throughput.
Yep.
It's not a really big jump because we already did delayed durability.
Yep.
So it is the write to disk is taken out of the critical code path.
Mm-hmm.
But still, there is always CPU involved with creating log records,
right.
and also with managing the flush to disk and everything. So we get even faster with that.
Perfect.
So what we saw here, just to kind of recap all these different ones here. So we started with traditional disk-based tables, traditional stored procedures, fully durable.
Yeah.
Then we put in the memory optimized tables.
Yep.
So we're optimizing data access.
Yep.
This case there was a big jump because we had blocking issues. Initially, yep. We got rid of those.
Yep, more significant jump right there.
Yeah, and actually, if you would look at the CPU, you would see it's 100%.
Okay, yeah.
And then we are optimizing the query processing and control flow logic using the CPU more efficiently. So the CPU is again close to 100%. But we can do more transactions per second.
Yeah, and in this case, what we did there is we just modified made the store procedure in memory, right?
Yeah, natively compiled. Then we still saw some jagged pattern here, and still a little bit of a bottleneck on the log I/O. So we applied delayed durability to get like a smoother pattern of the transactions. Take log I/O out of the critical path, so it gets even a bit more. And then finally, we were using the non-durable tables, the schema-only tables. It gave us the highest numbers.
Yeah, and I think this goes back to the comment you made. Think about how you want to use durability, right? I think we're pretty safe, modifying the table and store procedure. But think about how you do, schema only or turn, durability, delay durability on or off, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right.
Cool. All righty, so awesome. Yosa, that was great. I think there's a great introduction, and I love the chart you begin with to say, here's how we apply durability to how this, how our application talks to the database and the steps it has to go through. Because I don't think a lot of times we think about that flow.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Very good. All right, awesome. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
This is great. We look forward to having you back. Because I think these type of discussions are, I think, kind of make us think a little bit on how, we just don't install, but, how we think about our the inner workings of SQL Server, how we can make these things faster. So,
absolutely.
Awesome. Always insightful. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for coming. Hey, everybody, thanks for watching. We'll definitely see you next time.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.